Have you come with that desire today to draw close to the Lord? Have you come today out of obedience that He says to come together and worship for the sake of bringing glory to His name? You know, as we have been talking quite a bit, and Pastor Mike has been reminding us of the revivals and things that have been going across our nation, there's a part of me that is excited about that, and there's a part of me that just wants us to dig a little deeper and realize that it's not a secluded event. And folks, I truly believe that that's where we're mistaken, and we think that revival only happens in certain places, when in reality, God is calling for revival to happen now in each and every heart. Revival is not an outward manifestation as much as it is an inward manifestation of when we come close and draw close to God and He begins to bring about change within the hearts of individuals, then revival begins to come about. Do you understand that? You could travel to anywhere in the places that we've talked about in the last several weeks or months that revivals are going on, and if you show up with a hard heart, disconcerned about the changes and convictions of the Spirit upon your heart, and just want to experience something new, then you're not going to experience revival. But if we just simply bow right where we are today and come to the realization is that, God, I need you desperately today, then revival can happen today. It doesn't have to wait. It doesn't have to be manufactured. It doesn't have to be built up. It doesn't have to be revved up or whatever it may be. But God is looking to do a work in each and every one of us today. Let me read you the text. And I'm actually only going to read half of it, because we're going to get into the second half of it toward the end of the message. But in 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to Him." Let's ponder for just a moment. The eyes of the Lord are running to and fro. It's kind of odd. I haven't seen a pair of eyeballs running in the last few weeks, have you? He's using descriptive language that God is looking everywhere. He's looking at each and every one of us today. He's coming to you privately, and He's saying, "Will you come?" He's coming to each and every one of us and says, "Have you been loyal?" That's a tough question, isn't it? Have you been loyal? That's what He's looking for. But I think if each and every one of us will be honest, we try. Oh, we try. But unfortunately, failure is a common struggle that we all deal with. Amen? But He doesn't stop looking. He's still not seeking. He hasn't stopped. He continues to look into the hearts of each and every one of us today. Do you feel His presence today? I don't know how it is that you are come today to receive. Maybe you've just had a rough week. Maybe you've had a rough year. Maybe you've had a rough time. But He's still looking. He's still seeking. So what I want you to do today, you see the title of the message, don't you? Tell me, what is it? Time of renewal. What do you think of when you hear that title? Revival. What else do you think of when you see that title? Closeness, new start. I like that, Stan. What else? What's that? And love. Yeah. There's a lot of old stuff that needs to go. There's a lot of old stuff that needs to be refreshed. Springtime. Yeah. Favorite time of year. We're in it, right? Praise the Lord. Renewal. Everything that you've said draws us closer to the understanding that God says, "I want to bring a renewal to you today." When we pray this morning, I'm going to ask you, we're almost going to do our service backwards. You could come to the altar if you want to. You could kneel right where you are. These pews make good altars, you know that? God says, "I'm looking. I'm looking everywhere. I'm looking for those that I might do a great work and act strongly on their behalf of those who are loyal to me." I'm going to ask you today, we're going to take the next few minutes. If you want to pray right here, if you want to pray in the altar, I'm going to tell you to come right now. Wherever it is you want to pray, let's do it right now. Start moving, start moving. And as you come, I want to give you a prayer challenge today. Maybe we don't feel real loyal today. Folks, there's times I'm struggling with that. Maybe we don't feel loyal. Then let's come in an attitude of repentance this morning. Let's come and repent and say, "God, I'm not what I want to be, but Lord, I need to be what you want me to be." Let's open with a time of repentance. Let's open with a time that, "God, if you're looking, here I am." Maybe you're eager. Maybe you're ready. Maybe it's just been too long that you felt the presence of the Lord You want to invite him into your heart. You want to invite him into our presence today. Let's do that. Let's take this next few minutes and let's pray. And then I will bring it to a close as we pray together. Father, we thank you for your mercies. We thank you for as we come together. We come together as a church. We've come together as a family. And Lord, we just thank you for those that continue to be with us. We just pray for a renewal of heart, a renewal of commitment, a renewal of your presence in all that we say and do. Lord, this is just a beginning point, not the ending. This is just a beginning of a newness of searching and seeking you. Lord, we just thank you for those that have come this morning, and we've come to show the genuineness of our desire for you, a need that only you can fill, a desperate need that only you can satisfy. And so, Lord, as we enter into the reading and the preaching of your word, Lord, may our hearts be open to your Spirit. May your Spirit do a work among us, not only changing hearts and minds, but changing lives. And Lord, as limited as we are, there is no limit to you and all that you have for us. So, Lord, we seek you and the infinite mercies that you continue to give and pour out upon us each and every day. We praise you. We glorify you. And may we be renewed in our worship of you today. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. The text this morning has brought me to a king named Asa. Asa was the third king in the tribe of Judah. He was a righteous king. And this statement that was made to him by a prophet, Hanani, and it actually came at a very negative time, but yet God continued to give a longing and a desire for his people to seek him. Over and over, we see all throughout Scripture that God is desiring that his people would draw close to him, desiring that his people would come to know him. King Asa, in his reign over the southern tribe of Judah, Judah and Benjamin was to the south, and then the other tribes were to the north. And unfortunately, the northern tribes of Israel never had a revival, never had a good king. But yet in Judah, they would kind of go as somewhat of a roller coaster, but yet Asa was one of those kings that came and was a great blessing. We see in 2 Chronicles chapter 14, it says in verse 2, it says, Asa did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. When we look at these examples, I wanted to look at Asa as an example of how is it that we can find revival? How is it that we can find renewal in our spiritual lives today? Asa gives us that example, things that we can draw from. And first of all, it says that he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord his God. First of all, he aligned his life with the will of God. Think about that. He aligned his life with the will of God. You know, so often we are off about doing our own things. We're often going about defining our own truth. How often do you hear that? Can I emphasize to you that there's only one truth? And people will fight and gnash their teeth and scream at that very statement I just made. There's only one truth, and there's only one that claimed it, and his name is Jesus. You know why he claimed it? Because he is. He's the only one that can claim that. He's the only one with the authority. He's the only one with the power. He's the only one with the righteousness to do so. Amen? When we seek revival, we must align ourselves with the will of God, not our own will. In fact, Jesus even called us out of the world, didn't he? In John 17, verse 16 through 19, they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have also sent them into the world, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. Jesus said, I've set myself aside that I will fulfill the Father's will and the purpose and plan, so that in turn I may sanctify you. Do you understand, child of God? He has made it possible that you are a child of God. He has given you the right, the authority to be called the children of God. And more than that, he has given you life to live as the children of God. Glory be to God. We need to be renewed to that reality. We need to be renewed to who it is that we serve. We need to be renewed to who it is that we follow. We follow the Father. He doesn't follow us. Are you with me, church? I can remember as a little kid that I thought that I was the boss. You ever have kids at home? You got to run to the store. It's like, okay, I'm going to leave you guys at home. You're in charge. Oh, disastrous, isn't it? I was the oldest, and I could be bossy. I was pretty good at it. And man, it went to my head real quick. But when Dad came back home, I was reminded who was really boss. And then I was corrected in how I handled or mishandled things at home. Folks, we need to be renewed and aligned with God's will. Secondly, in 2 Chronicles 14, verse 3, we've seen Asa take another step. It says in verse 3 that, "For he removed the altars of the foreign gods, and in the high places, and broke down the sacred pillars, and cut down the wooden images." At this point, Judah had allowed the false gods of the pagan religions that were around them. They began to serve those gods. Folks, we are watching it today. We are seeing it today. We are compromising in many ways today. That we need to break down those altars. We need to break down those false gods that we're depending upon. If I hear one more politician stand up and say that they're going to fix all the economic problems, I'm going to scream. But can I implore you that even if they don't fix the economic problems, that we are out beggars, we are starving, we are trying to get by, that God will still be on his throne and he will still provide for his children. There's nothing that this world has to offer us. Do you realize that? Can I say there's a lot of things that we enjoy in this world? And God has designed the world that we might have enjoyment in him and in his creation. Do you understand that? But yet they are not worthy of our praise. They are not worthy of our worship. They are not worthy of our loyalties. He removed all the other gods. Folks, it is one thing to make a decision that I'm going to follow Jesus. But it's a completely another when we go home and we remove the altars. We remove those things that are in the way. Get them out of the way. Amen? In Isaiah 42, he says, "I am the Lord, that is my name." He's revealing himself to Isaiah and to the nation of Israel. And he says, "And my glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to carved images." And what God is saying? You belong to me. The praise of your lips, the praise of your life, the dedication of your life, it belongs to God and no one else. I want to ask you, what is it that is in your life today that is robbing God of his glory? Are there things in the world that you treat the same as God? And you think, oh, how can you say that? I've seen more enthusiasm and more sacrifice at baseball games and football games than I've seen in any other place. They'll spend money into oblivion. They will sacrifice sleep. They will sacrifice health. They will sacrifice heat stroke. They will sacrifice freezing and hypothermia to watch and cheer their team on and give everything that they can. They will buy everything that they can to identify with that team. They will do everything. Now, if you're a sports fan, I'm not trying to get on your toes. I'm trying to challenge each and every one of us. How loyal are we to the Father? I don't know about you, but there are things in hunting and fishing and outdoor stuff that I would almost stay up all night long and just enjoy and enjoy and just go to work the next Monday miserable because I just had such a great time running around camping and hunting and fishing and all those things. But would we stay up all night on our knees praying and weeping over the lost and weeping over our own sinful condition? Now there's a whole other question that I had to face and still face today. Are you with me? I don't know about you, but I get excited about shopping on Amazon. I know it's dumb, but there's just something so therapeutic about clipping through, and they've already got all my information. I don't even have to put my credit card in. It just, here's your order, here's your cart, hit button, and it's on its way. You know how exciting that is? My wife hates it. It's a demise to our budget, and I try to be good, but oh, I just get excited about it. Do you get excited about the Lord? Do you get excited on a Sunday morning? Yeah, just let me get there. Just let me get there. You know what? Maybe we've lost some of that joy. Maybe we've lost some of that excitement. Maybe it's time that God, what is it that's getting in the way between you and me that we need to get rid of. Amen? Oh, what are the conditions of renewal? We get into 2 Chronicles chapter 15. We begin to see that once again, the Spirit of God came upon Azariah. Now we have another prophet is going back. 2 Chronicles 15, verse 1, we see a prophet is gone and being sent to Ahaz, or Asa. Now the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa, and he said to him, "Hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you, but if you forsake him, he will forsake you. For a long time Israel has been without the true God, without a teaching priest and without law. But when in their trouble they turned to the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found by them. And in those times there was no peace to the one who sent out, nor to the one who came in, but great turmoil was on all the inhabitants of the lands. So the nation was destroyed by nation and city by city, for God troubled them with every adversity. But you," said Asa, "but you be strong. Do not let your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded." I want you to notice a few things here in this. I'm going to have about 4 points. I want you to look. In verse 2, God is with you as you remain with him. God is with you as you remain with him. Often we ask the wrong question, is God with me? And sometimes we should be saying, am I with God? We can make a lot of claims, but for some reason, when we reverse that and say, God, am I with you? Now we have to wait for his response, don't we? And if we're honest with the Spirit of God and we allow the Spirit of God to speak to us, he's going to reveal very quickly, no, you've left me. No, you're not as close as you should be. Yes, child, you are close, but you need to dig in deeper. There's difficult times coming. And I want you to ask yourself today as we're asking that question, is that, God, are we with you? Are we with God in our lifestyle? Are we with God in our speech? Are we with God in our careers? Are we with God in our worship? Are we teaching our children to live with God in everyday decisions and actions? Verse 2, the second part of verse 2. As he went out to meet Asa, he said to him, "Hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you." He gives us a promise that if you seek, he'll be found. My friend, God is not running from us. He is looking for us. Amen. He's just waiting for you to respond. He's ready, poised and ready to move in, to encourage, to build, to refresh, to renew. But he warns us, beware, unless you're found forsaking God. Now, who would ever do that? Why would we ever think of forsaking God? So as I look at the word forsake, I was expecting it to be a violent reaction. But yet, actually, it's a very casual reaction. Forsaken means to loosen. Yeah, we get a little laxed. We get a little freer. We get, it's okay. We'll take care of that tomorrow. It's okay. You know, we'll take care of that next week. Maybe next time. And that looseness leads to the fact that we relinquish. We've relinquished the fight. We give up fighting. We give up trying. We've committed to self. We've committed to fail. We leave. Or we refuse. I don't know about you, but I don't like saying that word, refuse. Oh, I wouldn't refuse God. But when you ignore the conviction of the Holy Spirit, you just refused God. That's tough to hear, isn't it? That's tough to hear. And God is warning Asa, says, look, if you will seek him, you will be found. He will find you. He will be there. But if you forsake him, if you turn him away, if you leave him, if you refuse him, and he'll refuse you. Verse 7, being committed to the work. But he says, but Asa, you. He gives the example of Israel, that Israel had sought him in a time of turmoil and stress. But because of their unfaithfulness, They had wars and turmoils and difficulties, and nations were being destroyed by nation. And so he gives a warning of Israel of what they had done, but he says, but you, Asa, reigning here in Judah, you be strong and do not let your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. He says, Asa, commit to the Lord's work. I want to ask you folks, as God's people, we need to be renewed to the work of the Lord. We've spent too much time at home watching YouTube, watching Facebook, in our pajamas with a cup of coffee in our hand. It's time to recommit to the Lord's work and service. Are you with me? Now, some of you are serving, some of you are faithful, but I want you to look around. There's many that have not come back as faithfully as we should be. And when I say we are in this together. Amen? It is no all they did that and they did. We are in this together. When we grow, we prosper together. When we suffer, we hurt together. You just saw that this morning right here in the front pew. We are in this together. And so therefore, we should be committed to the Lord's work. And then verse 8, I wanted us to see. Look at what Asa's response was. And when Asa heard these words and the prophecies of Oded, the prophet, he took courage and removed the abominable idols from all the land of Judah and Benjamin and from the cities which he had taken in the mountains of Ephraim. And he restored the altar of the Lord that was before the vestibule of the Lord. You see what he did? He not only did away with all the idols, but then he restored true worship in Judah. He restored the priest back to their places and their purpose. He restored true worship. Now, as we can see in the history of this, the realities of this, how does this apply to us today? Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. I've used it many, many times, and you're probably very familiar, but I want you to see the accolades of worship that are found right here in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be ye what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is what? Good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We can do that. God empowers us to do so. He expects us to do so. He commands us to do so. Amen. What does it mean to present our bodies as a living sacrifice? This is what worship is. We present our bodies. We give all of ourselves. You know, when they put a sacrifice upon the altar to burn it, they didn't just do parts of it. They burnt the whole thing. Everything. Now, you know, what's interesting is that they would actually wash the entrails of the animal. They would wash it and clean the whole thing inside and out, and then they would burn it. Like, what in the world is all of that? It's a picture of Jesus. When he went to the cross, he came as a sacrifice. He gave himself all. He gave himself fully. He gave himself completely. And so therefore, he did so to be a living sacrifice, but he died upon the cross so that we might be the living sacrifice because he died. Amen? And so when we come, it's not just, well, I'm just going to give this, and well, I got a little bit of this, and you know, I got a little time here. No, it's all of it, amen? It's everything. It's either all or nothing. We give it all and allow God to determine what we have. Are you with me, church? That's worship. We've distorted it into be something that pleases us. We've distorted it into something that is convenient for us. That's why as pastors we're losing our minds when we're not here worshiping together, because it is designed that we do so in community, but we do so fully to honor and glorify God. And just coming here, it's not just our presence, but it's through our hearts, our minds, our hands, our thoughts, our attitudes. All is presented to God to be under His control for His purpose and for His pleasure. Are you with me? How do we present? We present our whole being holy and acceptable to God. We do so on His terms. we do so in pleasing to Him. We live a daily life that is transformed by the power of God, which renews our minds, and that we will understand the perfect will of God. He changes us. But here it is. It comes from the Word of God. Now, emotions are a real thing. But in reality, emotions are not the motivation of why we come to worship. We come because of the mercies of God. To know the truth is to believe the truth. To hold convictions about the truth is to act upon the truth. To love the truth, we will naturally be changed by the truth. It is the conviction followed by affection. That affection is a response to the truth, not to an external stimuli or something that's going on around us. Do you understand that, church? When we love the Lord, we'll do anything and go anywhere to serve Him. Amen? We'll sit under any circumstance and any stressor that we might show our love to Him when we truly love Him. Amen? We're looking for that emotion. We're looking for that excitement. And in reality, that excitement only comes after we worship God, after we've surrendered to Him, after we have glorified Him. Worship is God-centered. Notice that it is focused upon Him. We get so caught up in where we should worship, how we should worship, what we should sing, and how we should look to others while we're worshiping, when all along we're missing the point. Worship includes the prayer, the reading, the preaching of God's Word, the singing of the glories of God, participating in communion, and serving others. All of these things that we do in life and living can be done in worship and an attitude of worship toward God. What is that object of worship? Can I tell you, it's not us. Amen? Too often we come into God's house worried about ourselves, when in reality, He is our focus. Now, I say that in a blanket statement. Don't get upset with me on that. It's important to know that worship is reserved for God and God alone. Do you understand that? Well, you know, sometimes we get so enthralled with many things that we find ourselves putting other things ahead of God. That's called idolatry. And it can be anything, anyone, feelings, emotions. It could be just selfish desires. It could be bitterness. It could be just simple rebellion, whatever it may be. Anything that we put in front of God that is robbing Him of glory is idolatry. Worship is done for God because He is the one that is deserving of it. It is for His pleasure. Folks, how different would our churches look if we came to worship to please Him and not ourselves? We would have a true revival. Do you understand that? We would actually restore true worship. We think that worship should cater to my desires. It should cater to my comfort. It should cater to the community's wants and dislikes or whatever it may be. But worship is designed and only worthy of the Lord Jesus. We have got so many things that are clouding our hearts and our minds when we come to worship, and it's robbing us of renewal and revival. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to Him. Asa, in this you have done foolishly. Therefore, from now on, you shall have wars. What happened? Asa went to make a deal. He actually took the gold and many of the instruments that were used in the temple. Now, you understand, this is many years later. When we cover these three chapters, we cover many years in the reign of Asa, okay? He took those and he went to the king of Syria and he made a deal with them to strike out against Israel because Israel was trying to make war with Judah. And instead of seeking the Lord, he went to a pagan king, Assyria, and found power and victory there. So then God sends His prophet and He tells Asa, why did you do this? Why didn't you trust me? Why didn't you place your faith in me? Did I not prove myself to you when I overcame the armies of Ethiopia? here in chapter 14, if you'll look in verse 9, that there was an Ethiopian that came out against the of Judah and an army of 1,000,000 men and 300 chariots, and he came to Maresha. And Asa went out against him, and they sent the troops in battle in array, the valley of Zarephath at Maresha. And Asa cried out to the Lord, and God said, Lord, it is nothing for you to help, whether with many or with those who have no power. Help us, our Lord God, for we rest on you, and in your name we go against the multitude. O Lord, you are our God. Do not let men prevail against you. You see, the attitude changed for Asa later in life. He began to think that by his own politicking, by his own maneuvering, by his own intellect, that he could gain strength and victory. But the end result was continued war and failure. Where was Asa's failure later in life? He failed to trust in God. He failed to exercise faith and trust in the Lord. What keeps us from revival today? Faithlessness. We've forgotten what God can do. We forgot what He's able to do. We have forgotten that He loves us. Like He said to many in Israel, He says, you think that I am a man much like you. And that's how we treat God. When in reality, there's so much more. Psalm 147, verse 10. He does not delight in the strength of horses. He takes no pleasure in the legs of man. The Lord takes pleasure in those who fear Him and those who hope in His mercy. What is it that keeps revival from happening here at Lindsay Lane? Only you can answer that. God is looking. God is waiting. God is welcoming. Are we living faithful lives today? Are you making faithful decisions today, aligning our will and our desires with the Father? People get excited about faithfulness, but not until faithful people show up. Are you one of those, the faithful that are willing to show up? What would God be able to accomplish in your life if you were truly, fully devoted to Him? What could God do in your life if you were fully devoted to Him today? You know what? I would like to answer that question, but you know, only you can answer that. Asa demonstrated great faith all throughout his life, but like many of us, a moment of weakness robs of blessing. But God is still looking. Amen. Right here in the middle of a rebuke, Asa, why didn't you show faith? But I'm still looking for those who are devoted to me. Renewal, revival, strengthening of our faith today. Let's bow our heads together once again as we dismiss in prayer. I want you to think of these words today. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, we hear your word that, Lord, you are looking for those that you may act strongly on their behalf. Lord, we need you. We need you to do a great work for us as individuals in each and every life that is here today, in each and every home that makes up Lindsay Lane Baptist Church, in each and every family. We need to see a great work. But Lord, you call us to be devoted. Lord, what is it that's in the way? What are those things that are robbing you of the glory that you are deserving of? Lord, open our eyes this week. Open our eyes today. Maybe it's just attitudes within our own hearts that we are just blindly struggling with and not realizing all that's going on. Lord, give us wisdom. Give us eyes to see. Give us ears to hear, as you spoke to your churches in the book of Revelation. Lord, we need to hear you. We need to receive you. We need to align our hearts with you. We need to be right with you. And Lord, only you can make that happen. Lord, I pray for your people. May you restore them to the relationship that you desire of us, not what we imagine within our own minds. Lord, I pray that you will bring about a work that only you can do, not what we can imagine, but what you can accomplish when we are fully devoted to you. Lord, use us. Bring us close again, that we may rejoice and sing of the glories of God. Go with us now as we enter into the mission field today, that we will go with renewed purpose, renewed commitment, with a renewed fervor and desire to serve you. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.